Welcome to the Stoop Juice Mind, Body, and Soul podcast. This is episode number 11, titled How I Escaped the Hood. My name is Jose Franco. I am the owner of Stoop Juice. Stoop Juice is an organic juice bar. We are in Park Slope, Brooklyn. We are located on 15th Street, 7th Avenue. So the title of today's podcast is a little personal. It's my description of how I was able to escape, well, not escape, the hood, or having a hood mentality. For me, living in the 1970s and 80s in the Upper West Side of Manhattan and the Bronx, I grew up a Latino male, witnessing scores of hardship stories of my people making ends meet. Back then, being egocentric, I felt only those around me and myself had it tough, while the rest of the world had it easy. Fortunately, I constantly questioned everything, and I also returned to school to finish college. My degree's in business, but I'm a student of philosophy, sociology, and economics. I now believe the struggle is universal. I know now Latinos and people of color don't have a monopoly on hard times. Back in 1989, my brother returned to school at Monroe College to study accounting. Before my brother went back to school, he lived with a group of guys. My brother's roommates, all of whom had salaried careers, were trying to teach my brother, show my brother a solution to his perceived obstacles to going back to school. My brother would ask him, "How am I going to pay for my car?" My brother's roommate would tell him, "Just sell your car." My brother would pose the question, "How am I going to be able to pay for my rent?" My brother's roommate were like, "Just move back home with your mother." And sure enough, that's what my brother did. When my brother moved back, he maintained a 4.0 grade point average while taking 24 credits his first semester. He did this by micromanaging his time. My brother avoided all people and distractions not in line with his schoolwork. This included me. My brother, he had no time for nonsense and had nothing in common with me, with my lifestyle or the company I was keeping. So this made an impression on me. And about a year later, in the fall of 1991, I decided to get serious and return to school. I went back to Monroe College in Fordham Road. This time, envisioning for myself, I saw myself looking sharp and successful. I would see myself finishing my assignments or my class assignments ahead of time. The small class sizes helped me derive a great deal of meaning from the material and the subjects covered in my classes, and my teachers really appreciated my interest and my class participation. They had to stop me from monopolizing the lesson. That's how excited I was. I took a variety of classes, including sociology. I remember the first day, well, it wasn't the first day, it was the first week of my sociology class. I remember a lesson on self-fulfilling prophecy. The teacher, Mrs. Kupchin, gave an interesting example of what a self-fulfilling prophecy is. She said, for us to imagine a person who goes to the subway or streets begging for money and faking a mental illness, doing this for the money without thinking about the consequences. As the days turn to month, the mental illness act takes more of the beggar's time, slowly shifting their sense of reality. In the end, the person will stop being able to separate the act from the reality, and the real mental illness sets in. When I heard this, I said, so wait a minute. Can the same thing happen for someone who's trying to do something good? Like, for example, me. I come to school all dressed up because I see myself as a business owner or a business manager already. I ignore my lack of experience, and I visualize the case studies from my textbook in my business law books as my reality. Despite my inexperience, I see myself working smart, graduating, being successful, and running my own business. Miss Kupchin smiled at me, and then she got a little smart. She said, the only thing you're leaving out is that you're going to drive all the girls crazy. She added, I see your future as a wonderful journey. I remember when she said this to me, enjoy the ride. With this type of encouragement, I was amped up. I was open. I went home and I read the 36 chapters in my sociology books within the next 6 days. The next school I attended was Binghamton University. While I was at Binghamton, I got to meet and I hugged a published Latino intellectual who was also from the hood. Spanish Harlem's own P.D. Thomas. He's the author of Down These Mean Streets. If you've never read Down These Mean Streets, it's a memoir of the experiences of racial prejudice and discrimination that B.D. experienced. His story helped shape my identity as I related to his youthful involvement with witnessing crimes, and for P.D., it led to a life-altering prison experiences. One of the things he says when he speaks to people is, and I remember him saying in the lecture, I promise myself not to serve time, but rather make time serve me. He said that even though he was in prison, he educated his mind. He didn't eradicate it. He would repeat to himself, I, P.D. Thomas, will be born anew every morning. For myself, being both Puerto Rican and Dominican, I related with Petey's identity struggle as a dark-complexioned Afro-Latino. Although he was from Puerto Rican and Cuban heritage, most American society back then, and probably now, saw him as an African-American and failed to recognize him as a Latino. Even his own family rejected the African aspect of their Latin Caribbean ancestry. This caused Speedy to spend much time as an adolescent and in his early life contemplating his racial and ethnic identity. This also opened the door for me to getting into philosophy, and reading philosophy also helped me in my intellectual awakening and to lose my ghetto mentality. For instance, I now believe we all should meditate. Through meditation, we can visualize our perfect future and foresee pitfalls in our plans. Meditation on First Philosophy by René Descartes is an ideal blueprint for testing your intellectual boundaries. This is evident by Descartes' quote, "If you would be a real seeker after truth, it is necessary that at least once in your life you doubt as far as possible all things." Another philosopher that I think is incredible and I'm very fond of is Baruch Spinoza. I draw a lot of my strength from him. None of Spinoza's writings were published during his lifetime. The silver lining about that is that this allowed him the freedom to question all things around him with a disregard to the status quo or the powers that be. So he was writing for himself, for self-improvement. No one was going to see it. He just left instructions that when he died, for his writings to be published. So that freedom, it's like writing for the sense of writing for self-improvement, not for accolades. Today, it's like creating good content on a podcast with the hope people listen, regardless if that's not the case, hello, so long as the creators themselves benefit from the message. My favorite Spinoza quote is, "Be not astonished at new ideas, for it is well known to you that a thing does not therefore cease to be true because it is not accepted by many." Lastly, we have Thomas Sowell. Thomas Sowell is an American economist turned social theorist, political philosopher, and author. He is currently a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. Sowell was born in South in North Carolina, not South Carolina, but grew up in Harlem, New York. He dropped out of high school and served in the United States Marine Corps during the Korean War. He received a bachelor's degree, graduating magna cum laude from Harvard University in 1958 and a master's degree from Columbia University in 1959. In 1968, he earned his doctorate in economics from the University of Chicago. Dr. Sowell firmly believes in supply-side economics. That's right, supply-side economics. This is a brother from Harlem that many call him a white liberal's worst nightmare. He has published over 30 books, hundreds of articles, and has become an internet sensation on the Hoover Institute YouTube channel. Of his books, I've read three. I've read Basic Economics, I've read The Economics and Politics of Race, and I've also read Wealth, Poverty, and Politics. Those who disagree with Dr. Sowell refer to him as a sellout, an Uncle Tom. Those who praise him feel that he should have won a Nobel Prize long ago. Which one do you think he is? Better yet, which one are you? The one way to find out is to take advantage how readily available all of Dr. Sowell's works and the above-mentioned writers and philosophers' work can be obtained today. Of the many Dr. Sowell quotes, my favorite Dr. Sowell quote is, "It takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance." We create our limitations, and we create our own self-doubt. So the goal that I'm trying to accomplish by doing this is, when I had a hood mentality, when I had a ghetto mentality, there would be times that I wouldn't go into certain stores just based on the appearance of the store, just because I felt that I didn't belong or I didn't think I was worthy. And it wasn't something that was posted on the door. It wasn't something that the person looking at me from the shop did. It was just a feeling of inadequacy that I had. And it was that type of mentality that kept me from going into the store. So the store is symbolic for things that I want to accomplish. So the same way I was hesitant and felt uncomfortable into going into these stores, I felt about picking up books, reading, questioning, and understanding. All these philosophers and all these writers have been around way before when I was born. So all this information has always been readily available to me. So the challenge I pose to you today in my quest for you to escaping the hood, what's keeping you from putting in the work and picking up these books and creating your own opinions? I'm not telling you what to think. I'm not telling you what to do. But what I am telling you is you have to put in the work. That's helped me escape my hood mentality. Again, my name is Jose Franco. I am the owner of Stoop Juice. And I really, really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this. I dedicate this podcast to Ms. Kupchin from Monroe College, her positive reinforcement and her maternal love. This is a woman that didn't know me a week prior to me being in class, and she showed me love by painting pictures of success that I didn't think or dare to imagine could happen. And for that, I'm forever grateful. Thank you, and until next time.